Amen. Praise the name of Jesus today. Amen. Today, this last Sunday in June, we find ourselves in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We find ourselves in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book. Similar to Proverbs, a little bit different in its style. Both written by Solomon. Solomon wrote most of Proverbs, and he is the author, through the Spirit of the Living God, of the book of Ecclesiastes. And so if you can turn there with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and then focus your attention on verse 9. And we'll read down to verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to verse 12. In the King James Version reads this way. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we bless you right now, O God, for the reading of your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, God, that your word, O God, brings revelation, brings light into our lives. Father God, we pray right now that you will speak a word, that we will hear your word, and that, Father God, that we will be doers of your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice to receive something from the message on today. Father, you know what it is that each one of us needs. Supply that need today in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you will use me as your vessel, O God, to speak words of life and strength and hope and faith unto your people. And I pray, God, that we all will be blessed. Father, that we will all give you the glory and the thanks for the marvelous thing you have done in this place. Father God, we are excited, and so we call it done by faith in the Son of God, and we give you praise right now for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And again, Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book written by Solomon. And our title today is Being a Team Player. Being a Team Player. Here's a truth from the scriptures. Okay? We were designed by God to need God and to need each other. That's a truth from Scripture. Amen. We were created by God, designed by God, to need God and to need each other. God clearly wants us to be dependent on Him. He is our life source. He is our supplier. He is the one who gives us everything that we need. He's our creator. He's the one that formed man out of the dust and breathe into him the breath of life. And we rely on God for continued life. So he wants us to need him, look to him, acknowledge him, depend on him in all ways. That's how he designed us. But he also designed us to need each other. Right, that we need each other. He never designed, it was never his plan for us to go at it alone. In fact, when God looked at man And understand when God looked at man at this particular time, you know, people say, well, he looked at Adam and said, it's not good for man to be alone. But understand those words are inconsistent, right? You can't say he looked at man, or he looked at Adam and then said, it's not good for man to be alone. Because at this particular time, Eve, or the woman, was in Adam. And so when God looked at man and said that it's not good for man to be alone, he wasn't just talking about the male. He was talking about male and female.
Yeah.
It's not good for men to be alone. It's not good for the woman to be alone.
Amen.
Right? That's what he said. And he said, and it's interesting because that was after a pronouncement throughout the first chapter of the book of Genesis of these things that were good. And God looked and saw that it was good. And he looked and saw that it was good. And he created man and he saw it was very good. We get to chapter 2 and now God starts talking about something that's not good. And that thing that's not good is for man and woman, to be alone. We were created by God to need one another. In marriage, in family, in community, in business, at the workplace, in ministry, we need each other. We were created, in fact, to succeed as a team. We will have our best success when we work together with other people. And it's so revealing of what is released in our society. When you hear, for example, people talking about self-made man. There's no such thing as a self-made man, a self-made woman. But the society tries to create this thought that somehow we don't need anybody else. I can make it by myself. I know that there are some men out there, Brother Les, who are pretty bad guys. But that does not justify accepting a lie that the devil is sowing in our society among women who say things like, I don't need a man. Or a man who says, I don't need a woman. Here's the thing. Understand the difference between truth and somewhat truth. Because it's somewhat true that you don't need a man. It's somewhat true that you don't need a woman. And see, because you can be successful single man, you can be successful single woman without a man and without a woman, without a husband and without a wife. No doubt about it. But that's not overriding what Scripture says. Because you can make it by yourself, but what does the Scripture say? It says two are better than one. So you can have success and life can be good. The question is, can it be better? And I'm here to say to you, that God created us to be better in group than by ourselves. Doesn't mean you can't be successful. Doesn't mean you can't have a good life. Question is, can you be more successful and have a better life? And the truth is, you can if you're part of a team. Amen. Because God created us to work in teams. Why would he do that? Because God is all about relationships. He's all about relationships. He even looks at himself in terms of relationships. We've talked about it before, but it bears repeating. He introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush. How? I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. He introduced himself in terms of relationship. So when we, made in the image and likeness of God, look at ourselves, we need to understand that it's in the context of relationship. Two are better than one. God wants us to be part of the team. And here's the thing we have to understand too. It is the devil who wants us to separate ourselves from people. It is the devil who wants us to isolate ourselves. It's the devil who wants us to cut off relationships that God designed to nurture us, to strengthen us, to help us, and to encourage us. It's the devil who wants us to go, I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
Because he knows if I can get you alone in that place that God declares is not good, I got you. Mm-hmm. I got you. Because you now are in a place you don't belong. God never intended you to be there. So now you're in a place where I can put my hands on you. I want you to know the devil is alive. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices, amen. We are better together. And again, better. We're talking about being better. We're not talking about being good and whether you can make it or not. But can you be better?
Yes.
And the scriptures say, two are better than one. Mm-hmm. It says they have a good reward for their labor. It says that one falls because they're too weak, or because they're injured, or because they're just tired. It's so much better to have someone to lift you up in a situation like that than for you who fell because you had no strength in the first place to try to struggle to get up on your own. That's just common sense. I'll be better off if someone can lift me up. I'll be better off if I can lean on someone's shoulder until I can get my strength back.
Yes.
I'll be better off. It even says here that one may prevail against you, but if someone is fighting with you, you can prevail. I need somebody fighting with me. You need somebody fighting with you. You need somebody praying with you. You need somebody believing with you. Don't try to be some lonesome soldier out there. I can do it myself. That's a good book. I used to read that to my kids. I Can Do It Myself. Mm-hmm. That was Grover. He always told me, I can do it myself. They were Grover. I can do it myself. I can tie my shoe. I can do it myself. I can pour my cereal. I can do it myself. And it's good for kids to learn how to do some things for themselves. Don't get me wrong. You need to be, don't be dependent on everybody to do your thing. But don't think that you can go about this life alone. Amen.
Amen.
We need to be part of a team. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And the book of Colossians is right after the book of Philippians. Amen. Mm-hmm. Which is right after the book of Ephesians. But in Colossians, chapter 3, God provides advice for living. And in verse 18, he talks about how wives are to live with husbands. Submit yourselves to your husband as fit to the Lord. Husbands, he said, love your wives and be not bitter against them. He then gives direction for children to obey your parents in all things. He then gives instruction to fathers and mothers, provoke not your children to anger. He then gives advice to servants or employees. Obey your master in all things, not with eye service. Do you know what not with eye service means? It means don't work just because the boss is watching you. See, that's eye service. That's service that you only give when his eye is on you. If your supervisor walks in the room and you immediately change screens on your computer, you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing.
Nothing.
You were shopping, you was Instagramming, you were Snapchatting. You weren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't do that. Don't give eye service. Amen. But then he also has advice for employers, right? He says in verse number 4, chapter 4, verse 1, give unto your servants or unto your employees that which is just and equal. In other words, you give a good day's pay for a good day's work. But you see here, God has all kinds of instructions for husbands and for wives, not just here, but throughout the Bible, for husbands and for wives, for children and for parents, for workers and employers. He tells us how to live with neighbors, doesn't he? He tells us even how to live with our enemies. God is always giving us instruction of how we are to live, how we are to live with those in the church, how we're supposed to live with those outside the church. Don't be unequally yoked, and those types of things. God is always concerned about how we fit in the context of other people. And so then, it's not surprising then that God has designed it that we will be at our best and have our most success as being part of a team. Part of a team. God tells us, amen, that we will have success if we understand that we're part of a team, that we're team members, that we have teammates. And so if we want to have that best life that God has for us, it is so important then that we understand that we are a part of a team. And we have to understand how to be a good teammate, how to be a good team player. Everybody doesn't know how to play nice in the sandbox.
No.
But if we want to have blessed marriages and families and communities and businesses and ministries and relationships, then it's important that we learn to be a team player. Now, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do, we're going to turn to a few scriptures today. I'm going to ask you to first turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I think, first and foremost, we have to understand that we're part of a team. That we're not by ourselves. And in describing the church, and I think this is a description that can go for any kind of organization as well, in terms of understanding the principles behind it. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 14, Paul writes there, he says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not the body, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now, we understand that he's talking about the church, right? But understand that this can be talked about any relationship in which there's more than one. In other words, one can't say, because I don't do this, I'm not part of you. Because I'm not in the choir, I'm not a part of the church. No. because I don't get to stay up at night late as much as I want to, I'm not part of this family. No. Right? I mean, we're all different. We all have different roles, right? And he said, if all were the ear, right, then we wouldn't have anything else. We'd have no other senses. We wouldn't have any other abilities. But we all have diversities of talents. We all bring different things to the table. And why? In order to complement one. Another thing that the devil does, in addition to trying to get us to be on our own, he tries to get us to despise differences. God understands that there's beauty in diversity, that there's beauty and strength in the fact that we're different, because now when your way of doing things and my way of doing things, we have some differences, but when we come together, we can complement each other and be so much better together than apart. But the devil tries to get us to despise differences. So I get up early, you get up late. And so the devil tries to convince me you're lazy. Right? You react real fast to things. I take my time in dealing with it. And you criticize me because I'm too soft. I'm just different. I'm just different. And we need to embrace the differences that we have when we're part of a team understanding something. It's the same thing that the ear is different from the eye. But the ear can't despise the eye. Doesn't make any sense. Because the eye helps you see. The ear, yeah, you heard some stuff. But, you know, sometimes you need to see what you heard. What good is it for you to hear a dog growling if you can't see it's right on your tail? We need both. We need both. Let's continue reading here. Let's go down to verse 25. It says, there should be no schism in the body. That means no division. That the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. In other words, we're in this together. None of us are better than the other. We may have some differences, but those differences can help us and can complement the group and make it better off for all of us. We're part of a team. And as part of that team, we all have a role. You see, if we go down to verse 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? And the answer is no. We all don't do that. But what he's done is that God has made us different to perform different roles. Paul told the church at Ephesus that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And he said there was for a reason. Right? It was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body. So each one of us is different, but we all have a role to play too. So it's important then that we understand something. One, that God designed us to be parts of teams. And second, that we all have roles to play, and we need to understand then what it means to be a team player. Because since we're part of a team, we need to understand how to play together as a team. Because that's the only way we can win. So let's talk about some things that will help us be a team player. So we're part of a team, whether it's a marriage team, whether it's a family team, whether it's a church team, a work team, a community team, neighborhood team. Whatever, we're parts of team. And we're team members. We're different, but we all have. We play on multiple teams. We're not just on one team. We have multiple teams. I come home, that's my family, that's my team. I go to work, that's my team. Come to church, that's a different team. There might be some overlap. I'm married, that's my team. Amen. You go to school, that's your team. We got many teams. So how do you be a team player? Well, let's turn to a few scriptures. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. The book of Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah, just by way of background and recalling this, Nehemiah was in Babylon and he got word that the wall in Jerusalem was burnt down and knocked down and destroyed, and he got permission from the king to go back and rebuild the wall. But when he went back to rebuild the wall, it wasn't without opposition. There was a lot of opposition to Nehemiah. Sanballat, Tobiah, and others were opposing Nehemiah, ridiculing him, and trying to get him to stop the work. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, we see some of this opposition. But I want to focus on verse number 6. Well, let's go to verse number 4, because they were laughing at Nehemiah. They were talking about, you can't build this wall. If fox go up, he'll knock down every stone in the wall. And in verse 4, Nehemiah prays unto God, and he said, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." And I want to focus on verse 6. "So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And if you keep reading through the book of Nehemiah, it says that this wall was built in like 52 days. I mean, just it was built very quickly in the face of opposition. And it's because the people were working together as a team. But the first thing that we see here is that the people had a mind to work. If we're going to be a team player, we have to be workers. We have to be prepared to work. We have to be prepared to contribute. You can't be on a team and allow all the other team members to do everything while you sit back and get the benefit of being a team member. It's been said, and I think we need to adjust these numbers, that in the church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I think it's more like 5% of the people do 95% of the work.
Yep.
What is that saying? It's saying that the minority of people are the ones who are doing things.
Yep.
They are the people who have the nickname somebody.
Yep.
Because they're the ones who the folk who don't do anything are referring to when they say, "Somebody needs to fix this. Somebody needs to tell them about this. Somebody needs to move this." The people who actually do the work, they're the somebodies that the other bodies are referring to. I believe that if you're part of a team, if you want the benefits of the team, then you need to contribute to the team. Let's take an example in the family and with kids, younger kids, teenagers, preteens who are able to do some things. But just in the family, period. Everybody in the family likes to eat. Everybody in the family likes to eat. But everybody in the family don't go to the grocery store. Okay, you can't go to the grocery store. Everybody likes to eat, but everybody don't cook. Okay, you can't cook. Okay. Kids are saying, well, I can't go to school. I don't have my license. I can't cook because I don't do this. Okay. But everybody likes to eat off clean dishes. Well, but nobody wants to set the table. Oh, now we bring the kids in. But you can set the table, you know. Everybody likes to eat off clean dishes, but nobody wants to put the dishes in the dishwasher. Right? In other words, there's something to do. There's something to do. If you like to eat, then go get the food. If you can't go get the food, then cook the food. If you can't cook the food, then set the table. If you can't set the table, at least clean off the table. In other words, do something to contribute to the benefit of eating as a family. I don't believe that kids should stay upstairs, play video games, come downstairs, eat, and go back upstairs and play video games some more. I just don't believe that. There's something that you can do as a part of the team instead of just enjoying the benefits of the team. Am I right about it? Sweep the floor. Clean up the crumbs that we all created when we ate the dinner that mama made.
Amen.
Wipe off the table. Empty a garbage can. Help me put the dishes in the dishwasher. You can do something because you are part of the team.
Amen.
Have a mind to work. Not a mind just to take. Not just a mind to say, I'm getting the benefits of the team. Have a mind to do what? To work.
Amen.
To contribute. That's how you can become a team player. Because the more you contribute, the less somebody else has to contribute. Because you can wear out your other team members by letting them do all the work. And can I say this right now? Don't take advantage of your team members. What I mean by that? If you know somebody on your team will do a thing if you don't sit back and don't do it. You know, like, you know, let's take it in the office environment. Every now and then somebody brings the donuts and the coffee to work. Well, you know something. If you don't do it, Sister So-and-so won't do it. So every Tuesday, you just make sure you don't do it. Because you want to make, you just want to leave it to her to do it. Because you know her heart. Don't take advantage of the generous heart of your team member by saying, I'm not going to do something because I know they'll do it. Have a mind to work. Have a mind to contribute. Because you're part of a team. And if you can help your team be stronger, it's better for you and everybody else.
Yes.
Amen. So the first thing, you want to be a team player, have a mind to work. Let's stay in Nehemiah. Let's go to verse number 13. Because the second thing that we need to, if we're going to be a team player, there's something else that Nehemiah shows us here in chapter 4. Look at verse 13. Again, they're facing all kinds of opposition. And Nehemiah says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth, that the half of my servants wrought in the work, or they did the construction of the wall. And watch this. And the other half of them held both spears and shields and bows and habergeons. And the rulers were behind or supported all the house of Judah. So you see what Nehemiah said? He said, we had opposition. He said, but first of all, you need to be willing to fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. But then he said, half of the people were up on the wall working, and the other half were standing guard with weapons to protect them from those who were opposing. And you know what that was? You know what that says? That they were supporting one another.
Yeah.
That they had each other's back. You're up there on the wall working. I'm down here making sure nothing's gonna jump off. And if it does, don't worry. I got your back. That's what being a team player is. You have to, that's a part of it as well. You have to support one another. You have to have each other's back. You have to look out for one another. Right? If you're gonna be a team player. And understand too, team player, you can be the captain of the team. You still need to be a team player. You can be a leader of the team. You still need to be the team player or be a team player. God believes in servant leadership, amen? So you can't pull rank. I'm the man of this house. You're still supposed to be a servant leader. You're still part of the team. This ain't the animal kingdom where, you know, the male lion lets the female lion that says go out there and do all the hunting and all the killing, then he come over and says, well, I've eaten first. You try that in the black household, brother, you gonna be in trouble. Then you just gonna sit back, watch TV, watch the game, and all the food there, you gonna go up there, I've eaten first. We gotta support one another. Amen. We have to have each other's back. Amen. And we're going to be a team player. So let's have a mind to work. Don't, you know, pull your weight. Amen. You're part of a team. Pull your weight. Have a mind to work. If you're going to be a team player, have your team members back. One of the worst things is when team members turn on one another. And they do it in the face or in the presence of people on another team. Why are you going to be talking to your neighbor's wife or your neighbor, you know, you're talking to your neighbor about your wife or your husband or your kid? They got their own team. And you want to go in front of them and put your team members down? Doesn't make any sense. Have your team members back. Even if you know your kid is all kind of, you know, sideways or whatever, if your neighbor starts saying that, you stick up with it. No, my son coming along. Even if you just praying that, even if you calling things that be not as though they were, you just stood. No, he coming along. He coming to his own. But you go home going, Lord, help my boy. But don't stand before somebody on the other team and start putting down your own team members. Have your team members back. Amen. Be a team player. And you need to take your team member aside and tell them a thing or two. Do that, but you know, tell your team member, don't let the other team see that you over here getting on your team member. Support one another. Amen. And in that vein, encourage one another. Encourage one another. You know, the book of Hebrews, I'll read this one in your hearing. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, it tells us that in verse 24 and 25, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, and let us consider one another to provoke or stir up unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting. That word exhorting means encouraging. Encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If we're going to be good team members or be a good team player, we need to encourage one another. Can I say this? When we leave this church and go out into the world, when we leave our homes and go out into the world, whether to work or to school or wherever we're going, that world is a discouraging place. Amen. It's a mean place. It's a cold place, right? If the team members can't find encouragement on the team, they may not find encouragement anywhere else. There needs to be encouragement on the team. And you know, if you're going to encourage someone, it requires you having a positive attitude. That's another thing about being a team player. You can't be a negative Nelly. You can't see the downside of everything. You can't be always talking about preparing for the worst. Who the heck wants to be around somebody who's thinking about the worst? You can't, if you're going to be a source of encouragement, you yourself have to be positive. You have to have a positive outlook. You have to have positive energy. If you wake up first thing in the morning and already look like you brushed your teeth, and then you gargled with a combination of lemon juice, onion juice, garlic, something wrong, you just got up. If you want to be on a team, you got to be encouraging. You have to have a positive attitude. And not just when things are going well for you. Think about it in the context of a team, Christian. Let's say you're playing basketball and you're on the team. Oh, yeah, you scoring all your points. And now you're encouraging. Oh, come on, guys, let's go, let's go. But what happens when your shot stops falling? See, some people, when things aren't going well for them, they withdraw, they get mad, they get sullen. Simply because things aren't going well for them, and they forget all about the fact they're still part of a team. You're still part of a team. And your negative approach to life, your negative outlook, your negative energy, your negative comments can bring down the whole team. Learn to be a team player. Be encouraging. But you got to have a positive outlook. Be encouraging. If you're going well, be encouraging with a teammate that's struggling. Yeah, your shot is falling. Your teammate is missing. Your teammate's missing shots, Christian. Your teammate's turning the ball over, Christian. Your teammate's not hustling, Christian. And then you over there going, you need to hustle. You need to work. You need to do it. No, you're encouraging. I know your shot's not falling, but come on, you can contribute another way. Just keep hustling, man. That was good hustle. That's the way to get back. You encourage them. You encourage teammates when they're struggling. Your husband's struggling. Wife, you don't come home telling, you know, you need to get up off that guy. You need to get your head out of your butt. You need to get this. You know. You encourage him. Is it okay for me to say that?
He said it already.
I'm sorry, Lord. I forgot where I was from. But at least I didn't, you know. It's still with a PG. Well, you get the point. Sometimes we ride people when they're low. And so we make it worse. That's not being a team player. When your teammate is struggling, it's not for you to put your foot on their neck. It's for you to lift a hand and help them up. And you tell them, throw your arm around my shoulder. And then you walk. And maybe it's going to be a while because they still don't have the energy. They're just limping along. But support them. Encourage them. Tell them, come on, you can do it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I think I better move on for this one. Or I say something else. But we have to encourage each other, amen? So, Christian, when you get benched by the coach, because your shot's not falling, because you're not hustling, or you on the bench because the referee called three bad fouls on you, You don't go over to the bench and put the towel on your head and be sulking. What should you do? You still cheer your teammates on. So you don't just be a good teammate and encourage when things are going well for you. You're a good teammate no matter what. You're a good teammate even if your teammates are struggling. You're still a good teammate. You encourage them. I'm going to move on. So we encourage each other. The other thing, if you want to be a good teammate, you have to contribute without complaining. Amen. Contribute without complaining. 1 Peter 4, verse 9 and 10 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. In other words, do what you need to do. Do your good deeds. Do your thing, but don't complain about it. Amen. I would rather my teammate not do something for me than to do it for me and complain about it. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a good teammate to do stuff and then turn around and complain. So just keep looking, because you've done this before. I'm just going to close my eyes because I want to see the guilty faces when God reads your mail. But you know those times when you said things like, I'm the only one around here who's doing, and then fill in the blank? Remember those times you said that? Nobody cares about this, but remember those times you said that? Where you just knew that you're doing all this stuff, and you doing all this, and you did it, but you complained about it? That's not being a good teammate, amen? If you're going to do something, do it. That's something I'm learning too, because sometimes the devil try to get in your ear. You know what I mean? He'll get in your ear, okay? He let you know. He'll tell you, you know, you're doing all this. He's just sitting over there doing nothing. You ever hear those thoughts? Just sitting up there doing nothing. Here's another one the devil likes to do. He likes to tell you how you're doing all these things and no one even appreciates it. You ever heard that one? You ever heard that whisper in your ear? Yeah, they don't even appreciate it. Look at me. He didn't even see you did it. You just painted this whole house. You painted it. This whole room is a different color paint. He came in. I did the same one. Don't fall for that. Lord, help me. Because I'm telling you, I hear the same whispers too.
You over here doing nothing. You over here staying like a dog.
Do what you do, but if you're a teammate, you make your contribution without complaint. Don't talk about you the only one doing stuff. Don't talk about you the only one who's staying up late. Just do your thing. And here's the thing. If you ever get to that point, and sometimes it's the truth now. Sometimes it's the truth. You are the only one who's doing it. But how do you handle that then? Don't get mad. Just understand something. The scripture covers everything in life. And God talks about the fact that you're storing up treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to go, I'm storing up treasure in heaven. And I don't know, it could be here or it could be in the hereafter. But I'm going to get a reward for my faithful contribution that I'm carrying out without complaint. You never know. Shoot it. Tomorrow, the blessing of God could come upon you and overtake you because of all the stuff you did yesterday without complaining. So be a team player. Make your contribution without complaining. Three more things, then we're going to leave. If you want to be a team player, help other people be their best. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. Right? So one person sharpens another. So watch this though. If I'm going to help you be your best, guess what I'm going to have to do? My best.
Your best.
Iron sharpens iron. I can't come with my soft self and try to sharpen you. Right? People walking around today in the church, come on, I'm going to live my best life. I'm not quite sure what that means, but something about it don't sound godly to me.
It sounds like you decide what you're going to be.
My will be done.
Instead of your will be done. But I don't know about you living your best life, but I do know this. You should be your best you. The best you that God created you to be. And we need to help other people be their best. But if we're going to help them be their best, then we have to be on point as teammates. As you know, we have to handle our responsibility. We have to be on our post. We have to do the things that we're called to do, make the contributions that we can make, use our talents and gifts and abilities in the best way that we can to help this team succeed. And then, if I'm doing that, if you're doing that, then we can help each other. We can sharpen each other and help each other be even that much better. I know that Kobe Bryant had a big problem with Shaquille O'Neal when they played on the Lakers. And his biggest problem with Shaquille O'Neal was, because Kobe Bryant was a worker. Every offseason he'd go, he'd train, he'd work on different aspects of his game. And Shaquille O'Neal famously would talk about how he like kind of took it easy in the offseason. He did movies, he did albums, he ate what he felt like eating, and he came into camp overweight every year. And Kobe used to get mad at him, but he was saying, you're letting this team down. Because you're not coming in here at your best. You're coming in here overweight. You're coming in here unprepared to play. And you're not helping us be any better because you aren't at your best. Teammates, if you're going to be a team player, you have to take care of yourself. You have to be your best. Because otherwise, you can't help anybody else be better. So that's why I think, for example, you know, and I tell this to my family all the time, because, hey man, I'm going to make a confession. I would much rather eat ice cream than yogurt. I would much rather eat potato chips than pretzels. I would much rather eat donuts every day. I love donuts. But here's the thing I decided a long time ago, Gwen. I got to be my best self for my family. So I can't eat myself irresponsibly and not be in good health for them. That was a choice I made. Oh, you eat well. It's purposeful. Because how, right? I don't want to be one of those men who walk up three steps and go, oh, hold on, wait. Wait a minute. I want to be able to take Christian on the court and show him something. You know I show you something too, don't you? You shake your head all you want. But we have to be our best self. Take care of yourself. Shaquille, whether you're Shaquille O'Neal or you just somebody else. Amen. Take care of yourself. You have a responsibility. Take care of yourself physically. Take care of yourself emotionally. Take care of yourself spiritually. Amen. Because what do they say? They say, listen, that what do they say about the chain? The chain is strongest as its weakest link. Right? That chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Why? Because the chain will pop because of the weak link. Not because of the strong link. The chain will pop because of the weak link. And so, if we're going to help each other be our best, we have to be our individual best. Take care of yourself. Emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. You take the time to get yourself in shape. That's what Kobe was saying to Shaquille O'Neal. And that's what the Lord says to us. You have to take the time to make sure that you're in the best overall shape Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, all of it. Why? So that you can be a strong link in the chain. And now you're in a position to help the other strong links be even stronger because iron sharpens iron. But if you're iron and I'm whatever, not iron, I can't help you be better. I can't. So if you're going to be a team player, make sure you're at your best. The other thing, if you're going to be a team player, don't have a star mentality. Oh, we need this in the church. Because, you know, it's okay if somebody else sings the lead, you know. You don't have to sing the lead. And if the choir director doesn't give you the lead, then you're ready to walk out of the church. See, you got a star mentality. If you're at the job and your boss doesn't give you the assignment and you get all mad, then, see, you have a star mentality. You think things are supposed to go through you. You can be the best player on the team, but you shouldn't have a star mentality. You should still have the mentality that I'm a part of this team and I'm here to help this team win. Brother Les, isn't it true that if you are an employer, you have employees, you want to develop your whole team, don't you? So does it matter that one man on your team or one woman on your team can do this, and they can be the best at it, and that every assignment that comes along in that area that they should get it? No, because you may want to give it to somebody else so that they can develop the proficiency in that particular area too. So sometimes it's about developing other people.
Pastor didn't let me preach.
Well, it's because he has six ministers under him, and he needs to give each one of them an opportunity to learn and to grow. But if you have a star mentality, you think it all should come through you. You are a part of the team. You're not a star. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me read this to you. But this is something that we can apply to ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul says this, I planted, Apollo watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So what is he saying? He said, I planted the seed. Apollo watered the seed. But God's the star of this show. He's the one that gave the increase. Right? We all made contribution, but we're laborers together, and none of us is a brighter star than the other one. None of us is a brighter star than the other one. So don't have a star mentality. Right? There's too many people who take their marbles and go home just because they don't get their way.
Well, if I can't do that, I'm not doing nothing.
Why? You're not the star. All the focus is not on you. And here's the other thing that's related. Can I say this too? But this is important. It goes even back to being iron sharpens iron. But it fits here as well. If you are something that you are very proficient in doing a certain thing, if you're a good team player, you will share your knowledge with other teammates. I know some people that, especially in the work environment, they believe knowledge is power. So they hold on to knowledge. They don't share it with the rest of the team because they want to be viewed as the only one who knew that. They love it. They won't share stuff. That hurts the team in the end because here's the thing. What happens if you're not there? If you're the only one who knows how to do something, what happens when you're not there? We need the whole team to be strong. That's why in this church, right, I'm not the only one who want to hold a mic. I try to force y'all to get up here. Don't I? Get up here. Remember we had reflection Sunday? Oh, don't remind me of that. Remember when I used to try to make people teach Bible study? Sunday school? Sister Fennell? You remember that?
Yes.
Because I don't believe that I should be the only one who does things and know how to do things, because then we don't have a strong unit. Right? There shouldn't be a star on the team. Yeah, they could be the best player on the team, but he shouldn't have a star mentality. Then the last thing I want to say to you is this. If you want to be a team player, we talked about being, having a mind of work, being a worker. We talked about supporting one another. We talked about encouraging one another. We're talking about making contributions without complaining, helping others be their best, not having a star mentality. And the last thing is, if you're going to be a team player, then you really have to emphasize togetherness and unity, right? The Bible says, right, can two walk together except they be agreed? We can't walk together if we are contending with one another, competing with one another, and striving with one another. James said that where there's envying and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. So if we're going to be striving with one another, jealous of one another, we're not going to be successful individually or as a team, because all we're going to do is create confusion and allow evil in our midst. But if we are agreed, then we can walk together, right? If we're in agreement, then we can walk together. Is there any surprise then that another one of the enemy's devices is to get us and try to divide us, right? He tries to divide husbands and wives. He tries to divide parents and children, siblings from one another. He tries to bring division because he knows that if we're together, we're strong. What was our scripture text today? We were talking about if any two, right? Right, our confession this week, we were talking about if any two of us grieve on anything on earth and we pray about it, Jesus said we would have it because our Father would give it unto us. But that's if we are doing what? If we're in agreement, if we are emphasizing together. We started with Ecclesiastes, which said two are better than one. We can fight for one another. We can help one another. Right? It's better if we are united than if we're divided. And please understand that the devil is looking to try to divide us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. If there's no divisions among us and we're perfectly joined together with the same mind, then we're hard to stop. But each team member has to bring that. Amen. That means we have to overlook each other's faults. That means we have to be forgiving of one another. It means we have to be honest. It means we have to be humble, right? Because we realize we're part of the same team. So we're going to be a team player, amen. We have some guidance in the scriptures that help us to do that. I'm going to close. And, you know, a few years ago, maybe more than a few years ago, Hezekiah Walker had a song that was popular. It's called I Need You to Survive. Remember that song? I need you, you need me. We're all part of God's body. It said, I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. And in essence, that really was talking about the spirit of being part of a team and understanding I'm not in this by myself. You're not in this by yourself. We have some mutual dependence here. And we have mutual responsibility and accountability to one another. But I will say this. that that song, even though it captures the spirit of what we're talking about here today, about being a team player, and each one of us, we have an opportunity to go home and immediately start being this and doing this, because, right? We're going to be around folk, right? We're going to go back to our team pretty soon, right? Our family, our job, and all the rest of that. But I would say this about Hezekiah Walker's song. He said, "I need you to survive." I don't think that song goes far enough. I believe I don't just need you to survive. I need you to thrive. I need you to succeed. Surviving? That's not enough. I need you to thrive. I need you to be your best. I need you to be successful. I need you to be getting after it. And you need the same for me. And we have to have that mutual obligation one to another. I'm not going to let you down. Amen? I'm not going to let my teammates down. And I think too many people who are on a team don't care about whether they let their teammates down. That's not being a good team player. If you're a good team player, you know something. It ain't about me. I may not feel good. I'm about to say something else might have got me. It wasn't going to be a bad word, but already. I may not be at my best. I may be worn down. I may be through and all the rest of that stuff, but I still got an obligation to my team. Amen? I still got an obligation to my team. I still can be encouraging and not just over here with my towel in my head because I'm benched. Or because my shot's not falling. Or because I struck out four times today. I still got to encourage the next guy on because I'm still part of the team. Right? And if we understand, I need you to survive. You need me to survive. I need to be at my best. You need to be at your best. And then we will have that accountability to one another. And in the end, if we would have that sense of accountability, I think it will drive and make all these things we talked about that much easier to carry out. Because you know something. I can't let you down. Amen? I can't let you down. I can't let my family down. I can't let my wife down. I can't let my church down. I can't let my employees down. I can't let my students down. I can't let my brothers and sisters down. See, if you have that in you, it's going to drive your conduct and make it easier for you to do the things that we talked about here today. Amen. That's what it is to be a team player. And remember, we're better together than apart. And if we can contribute to a strong team, we will have a strong life. And we'll have a successful life because we're part of a successful team. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's rest on our feet today and let's pray. Father, to you we give the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you, Lord, for just making us the way you have to be part of a team. You said it's not good for the man or the woman to be alone, oh God. But Father God, that we would thrive and be successful. That we would work together in love and in respect and honor as part of a team. And Father, we thank you, God, for what you shared with us today. Father, our prayer is simple. Help us to walk this word out in all of our relationships, on all the various teams in which we participate.
Yes.
Father, we bless you and thank you right now that by your Spirit, an anointing is being released in our lives, that from this day forward, we will be better team players than we've ever been before. And we will make positive contributions to our team, oh God, in the name of Jesus, whether it's our marriage, our home, our church, our community, oh God, at work. But Father, we're going to be part of a strong team. And Father God, we will contribute to the success of that team and enjoy individual success as a result. Father, we bless you right now, oh God, for this practical word that we pray, God, that we'll walk it out, work it out, and we will see the blessing and the fruit of it because, oh God, your word is true. And Father, we bless you and give you praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.